You may be seated. Let us go forth in our exposition and dissertation for the glorious work of God in the eternal realm. The glorious body of Christ, the church. Oh, what a magnificent piece of work. Sometimes an artist gets through with the work, and if he is very proficient, there are those that come and they marvel at the skill and the quality, the detail of it. Amen. That's in the physical realm. Oh, how much we are blessed this morning that He has given us a glimpse. I say a glimpse. It's only a glimpse. Amen. Of the eternal workings that he refers to in the third chapter of Ephesians around verse 10, he says to the purpose, for this purpose, and to this intent, that before the principalities and the power, God displays his greatest work, the greatest thing that he has ever done. Then the scripture goes on to inform us as to what God's greatest work is. But he says he displays his manifold wisdom and power through the display of manifestation of the church. Amen. The body of Christ. Yes, sir. Mm-hmm. Oh, what magnificent work. What skill. Paul, on another occasion, in writing to the church at Rome, began to convey many accolades to God for his masterful skill and work in carrying out such an awesome task that culminates in such a glorious feat. Oh my God, hallelujah. And he claims all the depths of the riches, both of the wisdom and the knowledge of God. And then he goes on, he says, how unsearchable are his judgments, for his ways pass find not. So who has known the Lord? And who has counseled God? Amen. The answer to that question should be obvious when we affix the locale of this work in eternity. Right. Who was there around the counsel of God in eternity? Who was there, who was around, brother, for him to consult or confer with? Amen. And he sums it up for of him and through him and to him all things, and this is why I was saying earlier, it's all about him. Yeah. It's him. Amen. We're pushing Jesus. Right. Amen. It's all about Jesus. Mm-hmm. Amen. And what he has accomplished, what God has accomplished in our behalf. So it's all about him. And this is why every time we come before you, there's only one thing to talk about, and that's Jesus. Amen. Let us turn as we into the home stretch now of our discourse, the glorious body of Christ, the church. Let's go to our base verse of scripture in Galatians chapter 3. Now, the little woman is our designated reader this morning. And then in conjunction of that, we had moved to the second chapter of Colossians. Our text there, our context, I should say, verses 9 through 13, and I think we have moved down to verse 11. I know we have been on this a long time. I make no apology for that. Amen. We're talking about something that you will abide in eternally. Amen. The body of Christ, the church, that's where your heaven is. Amen. All right, everyone that has Galatians chapter 3, verse 26, say amen. All right, Alder, just read that 26 through 29, and then we will, without hesitation, move into our dissertation that is in Colossians this morning. Again, everybody got Galatians 3 and 26, amen?
Amen.
All right, read.
Galatians 3:26.
Uh-huh.
For ye all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus.
All right.
For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus.
You are all one in Christ. Notice the locale there, in Christ Jesus. Oh, how many times did Paul make that distinction? In Christ Jesus. Amen. Read.
And if ye be in Christ.
Those that are in Christ.
Then are ye Abraham's seed.
We are Abraham's seed.
And heirs according to the promise.
And heirs according to the promise of justification. Promise of eternal life. The promise of our salvation. Amen. Which is not tied to the Abrahamic promise, but amen. It is through the faith of the faithfulness of Christ that we identify with, through the faithfulness that he has imparted unto us. All right, let's go to the second chapter of Colossians. Elder, read that context there, verses 9 through 13. Everybody got Colossians chapter 2, verse 9. Say amen.
Amen.
All right, read.
Colossians 2, 9 through 13.
Mm-hmm.
For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in him,
mm-hmm.
which is the head of all principality and power, in whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, and putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ.
Oh my God! And this is where we shall, glean.
Yes.
Oh my Lord, it is. I'm getting happy. Just thinking about it.
Yes.
Hallelujah! This is where, amen. We shall be digging spiritual nuggets this morning.
Yes.
All right. Read verses 12 and 13.
Buried with him in baptism,
mm-hmm.
wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God,
mm-hmm.
who hath raised him from the dead.
My Lord.
And you, being dead in your sins,
mm-hmm.
and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses.
Amen. Now you saw that word circumcision and uncircumcision, and hopefully by the end of the day, we shall have insight as to what the Holy Spirit says about circumcision and uncircumcision and how it is applied in the gospel of the grace of God, our gospel today.
Yes.
Amen. It was a ceremony that began when God had Abraham, while he was still a Gentile, to perform as an act of identification. Someone asked this morning concerning Abraham's original status. Abraham was a Gentile first before he was made the father of the nation Israel. And when God called him out, Ur of the Chaldees, he was an idol worshiper. Amen. We must always remember that whatever we are in Christ, we have been made that. Amen. Abraham did not make himself the father of many nations, or the father of Abraham did not make himself anything. Amen. God made him. Amen. He was just as ignorant as the rest of mankind. Amen. And we are completely ignorant until and unless God gives illumination, because this knowledge doesn't come by and through the flesh. Amen. Oh my God. Hallelujah. If you know him today, it is because he has revealed himself unto you. The Holy Spirit has communicated with your spirit. No one is, amen, brilliant enough to figure this thing out. It didn't happen that way. Oh my God. But circumcision was a ritual, amen, that was instituted in the dispensations of promise and the law, and amen, it was done away with, amen, as identification in the new covenant of Jeremiah 31. Amen. He said, I write unto you a new covenant. So even in the kingdom gospel, amen, physical circumcision, amen, went by the wayside. Let us look again, and Elder, I know you got your Greek Bible. Amen. I want you to read the 11th verse, and I want everyone to just, amen, listen closely. And I know it's tough, amen, from what some of us are used to and have been, amen, used to as far as preaching and teaching. Of course, I don't know the difference between preaching and teaching, but I know we need more teaching than we need preaching. Preaching is to proclaim. Amen. But you got to know what he's talking about, what he's proclaiming. When we look at what we call paramnesis, which just comes from the Greek word that speaks of exaltation and encouragement, words that are written to encourage us. But the methodology of encouraging you is to first inform you.
Thank you.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
Oh my God. Hallelujah. How can you be encouraged with that which you don't understand? And so we must be informed. We must come to a knowledge and understanding of those things that God has so graciously provided for us. We have a lot of benefits. As a child of God, you got a lot going for you. In fact, you got more going for you than the devil could ever bring against you. More going for you than the vicissitudes of life that come to take away your joy, to take away your appreciation of who we are. We get so bogged down in the troubles and the problems of life until they cloud, they distort the glorious blessing that is in Christ Jesus. But I'm here to tell you this morning, hallelujah, that if you look, you'll live. If you look into the Word of God, you'll relax and you will live. Amen. Hallelujah. Because in it is a lot of truth. And those whom God calls to internalize this are those whom He has purpose to live a life of victory. Of overcoming. Amen. Life of peace and tranquility. When all around you is messed up. Amen. We use the term things are messed up. Things are not messed up. Amen. Things, things have gone awry of your agenda, but they are not messed up. Oh my God. Hallelujah. There's an anything that's gone down that God, amen, hasn't in eternity decreed. We'll deal with that in the conference. All right, everyone, listen closely and follow him if you have a Greek Bible. Read very slowly all of that 11th verse.
Colossians 2:11, Greek translation.
Mm-hmm.
In whom also ye were circumcised with a circumcision, not hand-wrought, by the putting off of the body of the flesh.
Not hand-wrought. Not brought about by handwork, a flesh work. Amen. Read.
By the circumcision of Christ.
By the circumcision of Christ. What do you mean about the circumcision of Christ? Again, the Greek reading basically, as we will take it and put it into more English-friendly structure, reads, in whom also you were circumcised with a circumcision not made with hands, a handmaid, in putting off of the body of the flesh in the circumcision of Christ. And I've got problems with part of this reading. This is why we go to the text. This is why I had him to read it. This verse begins with the phrase, and I'm going to give the actual reading for the record. Amen. Because any time you veer off from the King James, amen, you must authenticate it from the original documents. It reads, in ok parimiftete paritomini akiropiito. It is rendered in whom also you were circumcised with a circumcision not made with hands. Follow me. No, notice. In okay is rendered in whom also. It gives emphasis to believers to our position in Christ. Of the locale of where our position is.
Yes.
It is in Christ that we have been circumcised, not in the flesh, in Christ. Follow me now. Here we take the remnant for circumcision, peritomy, which is basically inferring identification. So when we say circumcision, we're talking about identification. I think we brought out in the Sunday Bible school this morning, Gavin said that circumcision was given as a sign, and as a seal, and as a token. And God gave it to Abraham, for the express purpose of saying, Abraham, I have called you out, I have picked you up, I have chosen you, and you belong to me. So, circumcision deals with identification.
All right.
Oh my God. But our identification is not in the physical sphere. It is in the spiritual sphere. Amen. Paul writes in Ephesians chapter 1 verse 3. Amen. Blessed be great praise to God, our Father, who having blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heaven, in the heavenlies, in Christ. Our identification is in Christ. Amen. Follow me here. So when we look at the locale of in Christ, our position in Christ, it basically gives us the understanding that circumcision does not denote or does not mean any human activity. Amen. It is not physical. Circumcision is not physical. Circumcision is spiritual.
Yes, sir.
Identification is not physical.
Right.
Oh my God. Woo, that's a lesson we need to learn.
Glory to God.
Even with the church, what we call the church.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. When you say church, most people identify with some physical organization.
Right.
Amen. That's not the real church. The real church is when you identify with the essence that you have been eternally placed and positioned in Him, in Christ.
Glory.
It is Christ that we're identifying with, not some organization.
Glory
to God. Provision for our earthly association with the local church and the local assembly. But we must always realize, amen, that that's in manifestation of where the real action is. Your real identification is in Christ, where you have been placed. Note here, the Greek, verb, peripmite, which is rendered circumcised. It is an indicative move, which means it's a what? It's a fact. So it's a fact that you have been identified.
Mm-hmm.
It is an aorist tense. What is the aorist tense? The aorist tense is a past completed action. And as Deacon Gavin brought out this morning, it is in the passive voice. The passive voice is not something you're doing.
Yeah.
Amen. You didn't identify yourself.
Yeah.
You didn't make a decision to get in. Amen. This is something that happened to you. You were called. You were elected. You were drawn. Oh, my God. This ain't about you. God didn't even save you to please you. He saved you to please Himself. You go to the first chapter of Ephesians. Amen. And you look at God back there in eternity. Amen. He just is pleased because He was doing it all by Himself. And none of us was around to mess it up.
Amen.
Amen. This is what we are identifying with. His spiritual circumcision speaks of the cutting off, of the sin nature, of the putting aside. In other words, amen, it entails the elimination of the flesh. And we can all be in the flesh sometimes. Oh, yes, we can. Amen. Hallelujah. I would dare say you would not want to see me when I'm, amen, really operating, amen, heavily in the flesh. Amen. Hmm? Hallelujah. I don't even want to see myself operating in the flesh. In the flesh. Now, this, as we look at it here, it's analogous to, as we look at, and follow me, it's probably going to take me two Sundays to get through here, as we talk about identification. Again, we have brought that down into the church that made it a visible entrance into the body of Christ. First, they made it a visible entrance into the local assembly, which even that is wrong, but more than that, they have made it a visible entrance into the body of Christ. I'm speaking of baptism. Baptism. Some years ago, when we first started, I make the bold statement, I make no apology for it, and we have scripture to back us up, amen, that a physical ceremony of baptism in the water doesn't put you into the church. Amen. In fact, such is not even the part of the gospel of the grace of God. It is not directed to the church. Amen. So we said, we won't get into the middle of that controversy as to how we would do it. We just won't do it. Amen. So there's a pool, but it's nailed shut. It's going, as long as I pass, it's going to nail. It's going to stay there. We may lose some. Amen. But we're not going to get into this foolishness of whether it should be in Jesus' name, in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, or whether it should be sprinkling, or whether it should be dunking, or just how it should be. And then one person said, well, if you don't say in Jesus' name, amen, you haven't been properly baptized, and you're not saved. You got to be done. Oh, you go to some denomination. They ask you how you be baptized. You say, "Well, what? So, what do you mean by this? What did the preacher say?" So, he said, "The name of Father, Son, Holy." Oh no, you got to be baptized over again. Amen. Because you got to say in Jesus' name. Then you go to the other place and say, "Well, how are you baptized?" He said, "Well, in Jesus' name." He said, "Oh no. Those people, they're nuts. You got to do this thing over again. You got to be baptized." Ties in the name of the Father, the Son. And hold, remember now, this is the way Jesus said do it. As though everything in this Bible, amen, didn't come from God. And so you get into all of these controversies, and then you go another place, and someone says, well, what did that preacher say? No. And it's, well, I don't remember. Well, just in case, amen, you probably need to do it again to make sure. Amen. So, because he may have said in Jesus' name, but he didn't say the Lord Jesus Christ. So now you're all over the place. Amen. Then you go into the Lutheran church and some of the other denominations, amen, of the Reformation, and they said, no, sprinkle. Amen. And he said, no. And he was dunked. Amen. And the Bible didn't say either, even in the kingdom of God. They said he was in the river. They didn't say whether he dunked him, whether he put him down, whether he stooped down. Huh? And it all goes back to washings. Washings. That goes back to the economy of the law, amen. And in that economy, amen, we see the ceremony of washings, amen. But then Paul comes along, Amen. And he says there is only one baptism. What are you talking about, Paul? Amen. There's sprinkling, there's dunking, there's all type of washings. Paul said, no. He said, I'm not talking about those other dispensations. He said, I'm talking about now, in this dispensation, according to the revelation of the mystery and the truth of the gospel of the grace of God, which is the directive for the church today, there's only one, and it's not the physical, it's not by water, it's spiritual. Y'all want to hear me this morning? Basically, what we need to be focusing on is the death of the flesh through identification with the death of Christ. Here again, we have the passive voice. The passive voice. The passive voice here conveys that this identification was an exclusive sovereign work of the Holy Spirit. If the Holy Spirit baptized you, then how can you make that physical? Somebody said, well, who baptized you? Paul said, during the transition from the kingdom church to the grace church, he writes to He wrote to those that they were arguing, they were fighting about who they were identifying with or who baptized them. Paul said, what, are you carnal? In fact, I just put it in high terms. He said, are you crazy? Who is Paul? Who is Apollos? Who is Cephas? Who is anyone that performs a ceremony on you? I talked to a pastor one time, Brother Large Assembly, I won't call it. He said, I do all the baptizing here because you see, that person will always remember who baptized them. And I thought about that thing, and the way we're taught, that's true. Every one of us went through the ceremony of water baptism, I guarantee you, you remember who performed it. But you don't identify with man, or no man. Because it is not through the works of man, but it is through the works of God. Passive. You were baptized. You were positioned, you were identified, and placed in the body of Christ. Not by something you did. Because when it was done, when you were identified, when you were baptized, when you were positioned in Christ, you were not even created. Amen. This is something that occurred before creation. Passive. It's not something that you did. You didn't identify with Christ. You didn't make a choice for Christ. And amen. And I hope this reaches some ears that need to hear it.
Yeah.
You were not of yourself. Amen. It is not by you. You didn't choose him. He chose you. Salvation was not your choice. It was God's choice for you. Your identification with him, amen, is as a result of what he did long before you ever came on the scene.
Yes. Amen.
So the passive voice conveys that this occurrence was an exclusive sovereign work of the Holy Spirit, as it was determined and implemented by the decree before creation, or before he made the world, before, amen, there was anything, amen, before there was any creation, So the first work that God did was salvation. So salvation preceded creation. He saved you before he made you. Amen. I know that's not what we're taught. Amen. We were taught, and we believe that, amen, until we come to the full of knowledge. We were taught, amen, that you were saved because of something that you did. You were saved because you made a decision. You were saved, amen, because you spoke in tongues. You were saved, amen, because you stayed on the mourner's bench till something mysteriously happened. You were saved, amen, because you, amen, uttered a sinner's prayer. Amen. You were saved, amen. You, amen, were saved. Saved. That is in the passive voice. Now what confuses us is the earthly manifestation or effectuation of this in time, as we are called to a faith relationship in Christ. Follow me now. We have a Greek adjective here. An adjective does what? Describes. The Greek adjective is apiropito, which is rendered not made with hands. Not made, that's with, how does it be? It doesn't, not handmade. Read that again. Amen. It's the same Greek word, but how is it translated there?
Colossians 2:11,
mm-hmm.
In whom also you were circumcised with a circumcision, not hand wrought.
Not hand wrought, and not brought about by hands. Amen. In other words, keep your cotton picking hands out of it. Unfortunately, in the church, we are slow learners. We're very slow learners. Amen. God is telling us to stay out of it, but we aren't listening. Amen. Not made with hands. This is a convincing statement certifying that this is spiritual, a spiritual circumcision, and spiritual circumcision has no reference to any activity of mankind. And it does not refer to anything physical or natural. This conclusively rules out all significations to the ordinances and rites in Old Testament covenants, and this is what has messed us up.
Amen.
What has messed us up, follow me now, is that we do not rightly divide the word of God.
Yeah.
We're open to errors reading and trying to do stuff that has nothing to do with us. Amen. It's okay, amen, to read from Exodus and to read from Leviticus and to read from Deuteronomy and to read from Numbers, but it is absolutely asinine to try to follow those practices and make them relevant to what your status is in Christ today.
Yes.
These things are for your learning, for your teaching. They're not there for you to do.
Come on here.
Oh my God. Hallelujah. We may read the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, accounts, the book of Acts, Acts chapter 2 on the day of Pentecost. Amen. Hallelujah. Some people get mad. Amen. I don't care. Amen. That's good reading, and it's good for you to know, but it's not for you to do.
That's it.
Stay out of those areas of the Bible if you're going to take them to be directives for you to do.
That's right.
The Sermon on the Mount is good to know about, but thank God we're not under the directives of the Sermon on the Mount. Because it says, if your hand offend you, cut it off. If your eye offend you, pluck it out. Amen, huh? it says a whole lot of things. It makes you vulnerable if you try to follow that to be and take advantage of it. For it says, if someone comes to you and they ask for your coat, you give them your overcoat. And if they ask you to do them a favor, it says, if they ask you to go 1 mile to do something with them, you go two or several. Amen. That will make you very vulnerable in this present evil age. Amen. I even have relatives, that would take advantage of. And you can take them with you. Amen. That if you try to follow that, amen, they will use you up. Amen. Oh my God. You don't want the Sermon on the Mount. Amen. He said if they smack you on one cheek, amen, you turn the other. Amen. In this present evil age, amen, you would get beat to a pulp. Amen. You can't follow that. It's not for you.
Amen. Thank God.
But stay in your gospel.
Amen.
Yes.
The gospel of the grace of God.
Yes,
amen.
Yes. Amen.
And so our identification,
thank God,
is through spiritual methods, not physical methods.
Thank God.
Now the next phrase of that verse, I have to read that part and start where it says, in putting off.
Okay. And by the putting off of the body of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ.
All right. In putting off of the body of the flesh, and this is where we have problems with some of the manuscripts. I'm going to stop and just go through this. And, of course, amen, we will be going through it in details in one of our sessions. But the English language is only 500 or 600 years old as we know it. The King James and other English translations were formulated supposedly from the Greek manuscripts. There are three different classifications of the Greek manuscripts. There are thousands of, amen, codexes and papyrus. There are scrolls. There are many documentations, and they vary from centuries to centuries. We have what we call the Textus Receptus, which is what the King James, which is supposedly underlying the King James. When you read the history of those who were authorized by King James, and there are those that will tell you that the King James is the authorized version. And I always say, authorized by who? King James isn't enough.
All right now. All right.
And so we look at all the translations, and we look at where they got the information to do the translations from. But these are the newer manuscripts. But even the King James writers, they use the Latin Vulgate. They use some other earlier English translations, amen, before them. But more than that, they were influenced by their own prejudice of what they doctrinally thought the Word of God should say. And so, amen, they wrote according to what not only they saw, but according to what they thought it should be.
That's right. You sure did.
Some people get upset when we say that is not correct or doesn't read that way. Because if it's in the aorist tense, you can't express it as though it's in the present tense.
That's right.
If it's in the passive voice, you can't express it as though it's in the active voice. You cannot do it. Now this phrase that he has read, I'm going again for the record to give the actual reading from that manuscript. In the putting off of the body of the flesh, in somatos tis sarkos, which is again rendered in the putting off of the body of the flesh. It is underlined by the older manuscript. The older manuscript is the critical text, which are the older manuscripts. And I might stand up here before you trying to say that one manuscript, is more correct than the other one. They're all copies of copies, because God didn't deem it that the actual writings would survive.
That's right.
In AD 70, when Jerusalem was destroyed, yes, and the Christians were under attack, yes, they destroyed many of the originals. And God did this on purpose, amen, because he gets more glory when the truth come out, and we're not pointing, even to the physical writings of those who originally wrote it, because the truth of God, it transcends the actions of men. But in these older manuscripts, it implies the non-necessity of the outward rite, a practice of circumcision that was taught by the Judaizers and alluded to by the covenant theologians of today, those that disdain rightly dividing the Bible according to dispensations. I'm going to go very slow here. It distinctly identifies the inward spiritual reality of identifying with Christ. When we identify with Christ, our focus is in the spiritual vein of Him. It has nothing to do with you getting up out of the aisle and walking down the aisle and standing around the podium and saying anything. You didn't identify because you said something. You identify because God did something. I think I'll repeat that. Your association with Christ is not dependent upon what you did or what you said, but upon what God did. Amen. Your real identification is not because of you.
All right.
It is because of Him. So the reality of it is in the spiritual sphere and not in the physical sphere. Give me about 10 minutes and I'm going to wrap it up this morning. Amen. I'm not going to be as long as that other preacher. Just kidding. So spiritual circumcision is traced beyond earthly manifestation. It is not conversion.
All right.
Our next week Bible study in this Sunday Bible class is about confession and conversion in the sphere of time. We get that mixed up with the essence of our salvation.
Yes, yes. Amen. Bring it up.
So that rules out ritual baptisms. When we look at this context, Paul is not speaking about anything physical. And listen, if you don't remember anything else, when you are reading in our gospel, when you are reading between the covers of Romans and Hebrews, he's not talking about physical things. Our gospel is not fleshly or physical. This is why our gospel is soundless.
All right now.
Yeah.
All right.
It's not based upon visions. It makes it harder to teach and preach because we are physical. We are hands-on. We're like the concrete things that we can touch, that we can taste, that we can smell, that we can physically connect with. But our gospel is about those abstract things that Paul refers to that eyes cannot see, and ears haven't heard, neither have they entered into the hearts of men. A man don't understand, this is what he's saying. But he said they are revealed unto us, who us? Members of the body of Christ. Though you can't see them, they're real. Mm-hmm. They're even more real than what you think you really see. Huh? Because whatever you see and whatever you associate with is hooked in with time. Yeah. And when time is no more, goodbye things.
That's right.
There's nothing that you hold on to in this life. Mm-hmm. You have a one life. It will soon pass. Somebody mentioned something to me about somebody that's dying. Well, we're all dying. Some of us just quicker than others. If the Lord tarry a 100 years, unless there's a newborn baby, a toddler's in this room, there's no chance that any one of us will still be here. Let's say if you were looking into the year 2115. How many of us? Huh? That's foolhardy. You all just helped me celebrate my birthday. I'm 61 years old. I would have to be, I started saying nuts. Yeah, you're nuts if you think that you're going to live on this earth forever. We're all dying. And eternal life does not mean the life that you have now, but it is the life that is to come. Yet you don't hear too much talk about that. All the ministry is about right now. And God is speaking to us every day because death is a messenger. How many people you know that you knew that are no longer here? People are dying, and God is telling us that this is temporary, but we aren't listening. But our gospel speaks in the eternal realm of the spiritual things. For Paul writes to Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 4 and 18, he says, things that are seen are temporary, but the things that are unseen are eternal. What is most of the preaching about this day, in these days? Things that are seen. Things that are going to pass away.
That's right.
Give me 5 minutes. Yeah. In this context, the reference to not made with hands, it militates against, or it speaks against, or it wars against any form of circumcision, identification of the flesh. I think I said it again. In this context, in this verse. Not made with hands. Means that he is not talking about anything that can be identified with the flesh. So the putting off of the body of the flesh denotes its total exclusion as it is Christ's own body, by which we are sanctified, according to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22. Not the putting off of the foreskin of the ceremony that God gave for identification that are recorded in the rites and the ceremonies and the ordinances that are in the earlier writings of the Bible. The Textus Receptus and the majority text transcript underlines the statement, the body of the sins of the flesh. Look into your Bible. Say this and then I'm down. And they did not even italicize it. Look at verse 11. That latter part of it says, the putting off of the body, and they got there, of the sins of the flesh. No such thing. You can't put off, and I'm through for the day, but the Lord didn't save your bodies, He saved your soul. You know how the problems of these bodies are rectified? He separates us from it. And goes back to the dust. He saved your soul. He didn't save your body. Look at my hands. My hands are new. Look at my feet. My feet. Those same hands, same feet, able to do whatever they've already done and even more.
Yes.
Amen. Your yes. Don't you ever say or think what you won't do. But it is not according, amen, to any directive that gives the illusion that our bodies are glorified right now. Identification is in the mind. Identification is in the knowledge that God gives to us. Once saved, always saved. Yes, that is true. Because you did not identify yourself. He placed you in the body. He gave to you the essence of your salvation. You didn't do it. God did it. It was done to you. And we identify with what God did. God bless you.
Thank God. Give Him a praise. Give Him a praise. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, glory. Temporary as opposed to eternal. All that we can physically see is passing away. But it was brought out in the message